When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout. Today it's all about Sky Sports Fantasy Football. There is £50,000 up for grabs for the winner. My name is Joe and joining me ahead of Game Week 27's fixtures in Sky is Luke. Luke, how are you?
I'm good. A little bit better this week in terms of the football, I thought, and certainly some of the games anyway. And yeah, just a little bit more enjoyable. Had my birthday on the 7th of March, so buzzing birthday about that as well.
good stuff. And a haircut as well.
And another buzz, yeah. My haircut's been absolutely ripped to pieces, as you can see. But yeah, all good. Looking forward to Man City. We're recording before Man City versus Southampton. Mm-hmm. So looking forward / dreading that tonight.
We'll captain whoever starts. And if none of them start, then I'm going to go for my Southampton assets. So we've had quite similar game weeks. We'll have a look at our teams in a bit. But for different players. So with me, it's my continued investment in Southampton has helped, but with you it's an audacious move down to Aspilicueta in, which is a move I'd like to have done but couldn't quite find a way earlier this week. Let's have a look at some of the latest tier 2 bonus and match of the match, man of the match stars. And so man of the match, Craig Dawson, Neto, Havertz, Kane, Iheanacho, Aubameyang, Martial, Che Adams were amongst those that I picked out there. Looking at that, I think West Neto is interesting because I think we're going to want to look at Wolves soon. Craig Dawson is interesting at West Ham because he's got a goal in him, so that's going to attract the attention of the man match people. In terms of passing tier 2, I mean it's your familiar stories. It's basically Chelsea and City defenders, really. Højbjerg still there, it's all the familiar names. Diaz, Zinchenko, Stones, and then over at Chelsea you've got Aspilicueta, Christensen, Sionchu at Leicester, obviously more expensive this season, but Leicester's fixtures get better following there's a bit of a dip coming up with their fixtures, then it gets much better again, so you know, on the radar. Tackles tier 2, Dan Burn, Castagna, Reguilón, Lallana, Armstrong and Lundstrom. I've mentioned some of those just because there's a Brighton Newcastle single match day coming up, so those with lots of transfers who fancy taking the plunge on the south coast, they could be good ones there. Saves tier 2, Pickford, Henderson, Johnston and Ramsdale, so I'm not personally interested in any of them, but worth mentioning. And shots tier 2, this is a bit rubbish, Che Adams and Chris Wood. So there we go. I mean, out of those or any other sort of bonus stars of the week so far, any caught your eye?
To be honest, aside from obviously the City and Chelsea, which is a pretty obvious one, Craig Dawson is obviously fairly interesting. Didn't get any bonus apart from the man of the match, but just because he's so damn cheap, and obviously West Ham are so good, and like you say, he has got a goal in him, so he's very much a good enabler. I feel like if you'd have gone with him at Overhaul, for example, then that was a good time to sort of start with him and have him as an enabler. Now to then bring him in, I wouldn't say at this business end, you don't really want to be start using transfers to bring in enablers unless obviously it's going to massively enable you something you really want and couldn't do. But at the moment, I can't see who that would be because it doesn't seem to be that many premium assets that are doing well. If anything, people are looking to shift the likes of Salah and et cetera. So I'm not sure where you'd need the money for. The only other one that I did think possibly is Havertz. Just because Chelsea's run coming up is obviously fantastic. We know he's got he comes with such a reputation. He's been largely dreadful But he looked good in this game, and you know, deployed almost up front, sort of just behind Werner, but kind of rotating in and out. And yeah, I just felt he looked really good in that game. So we kind of, I think we're all eyeing up a Chelsea attacking asset for their run if we can. It's just trying to work out who, and that is the problem, I guess, with Sky. You don't want, you really want to be bringing in a player who's likely to be rotated, and they all kind of seem to be on that wavelength at the moment of possibly being open to rotation. So it's one to keep an eye on. I wouldn't go there yet, but if he starts to consistently play and obviously is returning points, then I suppose we'll have to look at him. Because the other thing is, just, it's just nice to have another midfielder who's close to that premium bracket who could be an option, because we don't have very many. So here's hoping.
Yeah, Chelsea have a number of attacking permutations they can do. So they can go for false nine, they can get Werner, you know, running at a high line. You can get Giroud, annoying defences, you know, perhaps deep lying defences. You've got all sorts of things you can do there. And Havertz is interesting. He's particularly interesting to monitor because I think he had COVID early in the year or late last year. And from all accounts, that sort of set him back quite a lot. So, you know, that prevented him from being the player that he could be. And it, perhaps we might be seeing the player he should be. I don't know. You know, it's, as you said, it's one to monitor, isn't it? But meanwhile, Azpilicueta is probably the one to get. Even Rudiger was shunted out for this particular match, which shows that no one, apart from Azpilicueta, is immune to that rotation.
Yeah, given Azpilicueta's age, I imagine you'll probably miss one coming up soon. Yeah. But he, so far, I mean, along with Rudiger, who I imagine will be straight back in. They look the best bets, don't they? And considering there's only sort of, I think there's not very much between. I think it's 0.1 between them. I mean, obviously, in that instance, you go for Azpilicueta now. Originally, I went for Rudiger simply because I wasn't sure Azpilicueta was nailed right at the beginning of his reign with Dan James, etc. But it looks like he pretty much is. So, I mean, I don't know for sure, obviously, but Thiago Silva's on the bench. He looks like he's coming back as well, so... For me, it's probably, if they do play that back three, it's Thiago Silva, Rudiger and Azpilicueta that will play. But who knows?
I mean, it's possible that Zuma was playing there to counter Calvert-Lewin's threat. And Calvert-Lewin was indeed deployed where he was, less right up front, where Richarlison was, to, you know, match whoever Chelsea put up in defence. So... there you go. So it could be just a one-off for that Everton match and a particular personnel needed. So let's have a look at your team. And this is sort of the team... You're always a couple of steps ahead of me. That's probably why, you know... Well, that's why Dan Cox calls you the godfather in the Sky. Because, so yeah, you've done it again. So Azpilicueta on my radar. Rafinha on my radar. I don't own them yet. So I'm still a step behind because I'm still at the, Southampton have got lots of fixtures stage. So I'm looking to move off to them and move on to these players. So you've got Martinez in goal, Azpilicueta, this City trio of Stones, Cancelo, Diaz, Gundogan, Fernandes, Rafinha, Kane. So you've got the Kane captaincy, which is must have been so frustrating for those that didn't get the Kane captaincy when you see a 46-point hole there. Calvert-Lewin and Salah, so the two-pointers there. So looking at this, as I was saying, you're at the stage where I hope to be in a week or two. But what are you thinking for the following week or two?
Well, obviously, I've used more transfers than most, getting very low now. So to me, that team hopefully pretty much stays for a while. Mm. There are two fairly large problems in it at the moment, which are Calvert-Lewin and Salah. I say problems. They can change very quickly, can't they? But Salah's obviously got this game against Wolves coming up on the single match day. So no matter what, I'm keeping him for that. Part of me feels like he might not even play when we get there now that... he started last week and obviously Firmino and Mane were on the bench and obviously Jota's there. So it makes me feel like this week there's a good chance that Salah's on the bench. Those two play with Jota. I really hope that's not the case. Yeah. In any case, I'll be holding him for that. They then have a really good run after that. So I don't know whether I'll be removing him even then, which, you know, his ridiculous run of 2 points has just been incredible. Yeah. It's gone on for so long now. And, you know, when do you pluck up the courage to get rid of him, I guess you could say. I don't know. So he may go at some point. And obviously, being 12 million, the most expensive player in the game, I can get anyone. So it really, if anything, it will come down to, well, who else is looking ridiculously good and I could move to. At the moment, I don't see too many options. No. So he probably stays on that for those reasonings. For Calvert-Lewin, he's obviously got home to Burnley this week. They've potentially got this extra game versus Villa chucked in somewhere. However, I do have Martinez as a cover for that one. So he is roughly the same price as a Chelsea defender. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking probably at some point Calvert-Lewin will move to Thiago Silva when he starts playing the games, and I'll have that block defence of three City, two Chelsea, which have got good runs, and obviously they're all getting bonus points. Yeah. So that they're in my mind, but when they actually happen is another matter, because obviously Thiago Silva's not even fully back yet.
I mean, that's potentially, if you captain a City or Chelsea asset, they're playing different days, and they all play, you know, just that block defence there, that's potentially 70 points a week just there.
Yeah, it's a very secure one, isn't it? Because they're either going to get clean sheets and they're going to massively haul for me, or if they don't, they're going to get passing bonus and I'm going to still eat away at most people anyway. The thing with City as well is a lot of people will start to move off of them because their fixtures toughen up. They've obviously been conceding the odd goal, and then they've got Champions League. So yeah, they might not play. So if I had more transfers, then as we move forward, I would probably look to maybe switch in a few other City players out and bring in other players. But I don't really have that luxury, so I might just keep them and hope, because ultimately they still may continue to be the best defenders in the game come the end of it. We just don't know.
Yeah, especially in tougher fixtures, you know, they get those tiers. I'm personally looking at Stones and Diaz keeping. Cancelo's the one I'm thinking of moving on. Although, you know, there is that upside. There's just so much competition.
It's frustrating, isn't it?
There's so much competition in those places. And yes, there is Nathan Ake, there is Laporte, but, you know, ultimately Stones and Diaz are the best centre-back pairing there. And Cancelo in and out. And it's just very frustrating. Gundogan will probably go for me as well. But I'm waiting for April's fixtures, really, before I make those moves. I've got 14 transfers left myself, so I can afford to wait. And I'm going to sort of assault April and May. But yeah, sorry, you were going to say something.
No, I was just going to say that's a very good point that I missed out, is we are firing blind at the moment. Yeah. And those moves that I've said, also the reason why I'm waiting, which I missed out, was we don't have the fixtures and things can suddenly change very quickly. There might be some obvious 3-for-1, some who knows, you know, captain days where I just don't have an option and things will suddenly change. So those with a lot of transfers now, the longer the information is withheld, I think it's good for you, really, because you can react to it later on, whereas we really can't. Or I certainly can't. So yeah, things still loads to play for, still loads of individual captain days. As we've seen, some of these can be a massive letdown, i.e. Brighton, and some of them can just be like 20 points like Aspilicueta. And you know, the timing and which ones you pick will obviously help to go some way determining on how you finish, and there's no rhyme or reason to a lot of them. Some, you know, largely it is luck sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll put my team up now, because it's you got 100, you're on 108 points, is it? No,
21 after Aspilicueta, 121.
120 points. I mean, that's a huge score there. So the difference between me, so I'm on just over 106 points. So the difference, the Aspilicueta move here. So this is what some people's teams may look like, because they've got a bit of Southampton here. So I've got Martinez, Stones, Cancelo, Diaz, Vestergaard, Ward-Prowse, who I captain for my 16 points, and that saw me that day saw me move up from 900 to 600 in the rankings.
Wow.
So it was huge doing that. And then I've now currently moved back 100 because I had to captain Calvert-Lewin, and there was the Chelsea defenders, people like yourselves. So I'm sort of about 700. So I've sort of moved up a stage. So I've got Stones, Vestergaard, Cancelo, Diaz, Ward-Prowse, Gundogan, Fernandes, and up front Kane, Calvert-Lewin, Salah. So for me, in the hastily scribbled together plan that I showed you a couple of weeks ago, I'm still on it, really. Whichever Southampton player I dislike the most is going to become Rafinha for that single match day that Leeds have. I'm probably going to skip Brighton Newcastle, isn't it? I'm probably going to skip that. Just take a risk, because I want long term neither of those assets. Dubravka possibly would be in my thoughts, but I've got Martinez, so you know, can't really compete at the moment.
No.
So for me, one of Vestergaard, Ward-Prowse is going to go for Rafinha. Ward-Prowse is probably going to go for someone like Antonio, or just someone around that price. Calvert-Lewin, I'll be looking to move on, probably for Aspilicueta. And then Salah, as you said, to anyone, mate, and I don't know. I mean, I might go for someone like Jota, a differential there. I might go for Aubameyang if he's looking good. But once again, yeah, it's all going to depend on those fixtures. So we're going blind into it at the moment, and need those fixtures.
Yeah. And the other names I think to keep an eye on in the coming weeks is City have basically won the league now, haven't they? Yeah. And the Champions League's done. And normally I wouldn't advocate getting these players in Sky at all because they're not nailed. But the likes of Aguero and Mahrez and people like that I feel will start to get more game time, yes, in the league.
Yeah.
Particularly Mahrez, I'm not sure. I honestly don't know if Aguero's even close still. Mm. I feel like all the noise is he said something, Pep, recently in the press. At the moment we can't give Aguero minutes just for minutes' sake. In other words, yeah, he's just nowhere near the level we require to actually win. So I can't just be building up his fitness because we're going to lose games if we play him. That's pretty much what he's saying.
I think he's reached that moment that elderly strikers reach, veteran strikers reach, where they, you know, like, who's the guy at Real Madrid? Raul at Real Madrid. Yeah, amazing striker. And then gradually, you know, sort of substitute, suddenly not in the 11. When's he going to play again? And then it's quite sad to see, but it just sort of age catches up on him.
Particularly the type of player that he is, you know, just quick acceleration, low centre of gravity. Like, he's basically a little powerhouse, isn't he? So he relies heavily on his body being right. And over the years, I think he's probably just taken his toll. He's obviously still got that ridiculous finishing, but but yeah, he may have lost part of it. But anyway, the moral was that if keep an eye on Man City's lineups over the next few weeks, and if Mahrez is starting in the league, then there's the sort of differential where if you're chasing, I feel like Mahrez coming into your midfield, because it's a midfielder and there's not many of them. He is one to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, last year in the you know, when Premier League resumed, Mahrez was in my differential B team, which suddenly started to overtake my main team. And that was the one where I went for Antonio as well. So it can pay off getting those low-owned, possibly good options for the captaincy as well. If you want to brave, go against the masses, which I'm increasingly want to do in this game. I'm following what I should do too much. And so, for example, the Ward-Prowse captaincy with a 300 rank.
It's a good example, that is. Yeah, if you can nail these captains that aren't owned by 80-90% of the top 1K, then you will notice a massive difference on that day. Now, it's very hard to get them, and often, I mean, Kane was an example this week. If you went away from Kane trying to do that, then you got instantly punished. Yeah. So picking your timing of when to do it is obviously key, and you won't always get it right. But you know, if you're in the lower ends of the leaderboard or at bottom of your mini league or whatever, you've got to start doing them now, I think, and just rely on and just hope, because there's, you know, if you just play safe the whole way, you'll steadily rise, but you're not going to rise enough.
No. And so if, for example, on yourself, you're in the top 30 or 21 or so in the rankings.
Yeah,
so
I'm 31st, I think.
In order to win it, you will need to be a bit different with at least a couple of those moves. For me, at a, you know, bouncing between 600 and 1,000, I'm going to need to make different moves. You know, I can't, if I just copy what everyone, you know, in the top 100 is doing, I'm never going to get there.
No. You can steadily go there and wait for others to make the mistakes. But ultimately, if I played that way and got lucky the whole way, I'd probably move up to something like, you know, 12th or something if I did really good. So I'm gonna have to, in my position, I can probably leave it a little bit later or pick those opportunities and maybe do two or three and just hope they absolutely bang. Ultimately, I'm only something like 80. I think I'm 80 points or 74 points off of first place.
Okay.
But to overtake everyone there and then stop everyone else below me overtaking as well is you know, it's a nice dream, but it's nigh on impossible, unfortunately.
It's sort of, you're entering into Werner captaincy, Aubameyang captaincy territory, and it's not a world that I'm prepared to go just yet.
No.
Let's have a look at the fixtures and game week 27, because we've got four captaincy days, which is great. So Friday, Newcastle against Villa, Martinez captain, I presume. Although there's anything more about that, if you've got Martinez captain him, there you go. Because Newcastle haven't got anyone up front. They've got Joe Ellington. So if you think Joe Ellington's going to score against Villa, then there you go.
Also on that note, I probably wouldn't, even though it's probably a bad game, the fact that Villa have got the extra games and everything is probably a time, if you haven't already, to jump on a Villa asset anyway, because they could get a clean sheet there and then they've got the extra game. So whoever that be, I mean, I think Martinez is the best, but if you don't go Martinez, then obviously there's Konsa and all the other people that could do a job. So
Moving on to the Saturday, bit of a tricky one, actually. You've got Leeds-Chelsea, Palace against West Brom, Everton, Burnley, Fulham against City. So City's the 8 o'clock kickoff. So if you're going to captain a City asset, you've got to wait all day to find out.
Not only that, they play Mauricio Gladbach in two or three days after that. So for me, that is not a game to risk the Man City captain on, unfortunately, because they'll probably be the best option, like you said, on the day.
That's going to be a problem for me. I may go for Calvert-Lewin. I don't have any Leeds or Chelsea at the moment. And I don't particularly want to hop off my Southampton assets ahead of the Sunday, which we'll come to in a sec. So I think I'm either going to go just for Diaz at City and hope for the best, or risk it on Calvert-Lewin. But I'm running a risk there. For you, I would imagine Aspilicueta. Get him on.
Well, the thing is, against Leeds, the teams that often get passing bonus don't get it, because they obviously just play like a basketball game. However, Chelsea are so good at it at the moment, I wonder if maybe they can. And it's on Leeds' pitch, which is all over the place, isn't it, at the moment? I assume it'll still be in the same state.
So,
I'm not sure. To be honest, Calvert-Lewin probably stands out for me for one last hurrah. It's home to Burnley. Burnley have been generally pretty shocking at home, and I just hope he can get something. I think it's safer than playing with a Man City asset. You know, if you could, obviously, if you tell me Diaz starts now, I'd just go with him, because it's probably another 10-pointer, isn't it, to 20? Probably.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I think I'll probably have to do the same, reluctantly. And, you know, this is going to be one of this will really hammer home the need for Calvert-Lewin to move away from my team. Always said something else then, but yeah, he needs to go away. So moving on to the Sunday, Southampton, Brighton, Leicester, Sheffield United, Arsenal against Tottenham, Manchester United, West Ham. And I was going to bring forward a question from Dan Cox, who says, who does the Godfather, that's you, think he'll captain Sunday, Bruno or Kane? So this is quite a tricky one. They're the standouts. Which one?
Yeah, it is tricky. Mine will probably be Bruno, because Bruno Fernandes plays on a day. Bruno Fernandes is my captain, is my general rule. And he is playing on this day, so therefore he will be my captain. Kane's got a great record against Arsenal. I don't doubt he can do well in that game, but Arteta seems to set up his team in a particular way for the big games, and I still feel like that one could be quite tight. I don't know.
You don't know Bruno, what's going to happen. That's the point, isn't it? You don't know who's going to score. Well, if it's going to be high scoring, you would imagine that Kane and Aubameyang are going to be there, but it could be 0-0.
Yeah, I feel like Kane will probably hopefully get something, but I just feel Man United with the game against West Ham. West Ham are obviously very solid and will probably look to be quite defensive and then counter. And I don't doubt they'll do a good job. The thing with Man United is so tricky with them, because we're so Jekyll and Hyde as well. I mean, awful against Palace and then absolutely fantastic against Man City. And what are we going to get this time? But Bruno Fernandes has God's gift of finding points somewhere, doesn't he? So I'm just going to stick it on him and leave it as that, I think.
I'm either going back to my original point, my team, either I'm going to captain Ward-Prowse against the absolutely diabolical defence of Brighton, who are XGC champions, but find a way to concede, and they still not great as set pieces. So you see, for me, if I wanted to be different, this is the, because it's a, as you say, it's a tough game for Manchester United. This is the moment where I'll put my balls on the line. Really,
I genuinely feel like this today, that day actually, probably the best captain is someone like Soyuncu. I mean, home to Sheffield United is generally passing bonus for most teams, like and Leicester, even though they're not playing that way because they don't have Maddison and Pereira etc, they usually have more on the ball when they've got those guys on the pitch, but I feel like they probably will get it there. Pereira's another one. I just feel like, I mean, I'd like to say Vardy, but he's just been absolutely shocking for ages. Who's the guy in midfield? Tielemans, even. I feel like that's a good game.
In my third Sky team, which Sky have given us this season, I've got Tielemans there, and I'm probably going to captain him that day.
I think it's to give it a go. We say we're going to run out of these opportunities to be different to everyone else. When you look at this week and you feel like if you've got Bruno Fernandes and you've got Kane and we still can't pick between them and they are both tricky games, then there is an opportunity there for the people who are chasing. I don't recommend that anyone near the top particularly does it, but
I think I.
You know, Soyuncu in as captain or Pereira or something like that. I mean, that's got Hall all over, you know, potential Hall all over it.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, that this is a day, a tempting day for those like me who are sort of in the top 1,000 but not the top 100 to be a bit different, dare to be different. Monday the 15th of March is Wolves against Liverpool. I actually think they're probably Neto and Patricio are probably the better options here, but we've all got Salah, so it's just going to captain Salah. If Salah's not, so here's what might happen though: you get the team sheet, and Salah's not on it, so Salah's on the bench or just not even in the squad. What would we do there? Do we go without a captain, or just we say, right, this is the moment, Salah's got to go, and we know we're going to want Wolves soon.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you were fairly high on I mean, Wolves have just got a fantastic run. Mm. So, if I was high on transfers, I would be tempted to bring Neto in. Not necessarily for Salah, just I would probably look to get Neto in and probably just leave him in for the rest of the season. Because he is another, like Bruno Fernandes, who just seems to have God's gift of picking up points. Not quite to the same level, but he'll just, and usually only a minor, like he'll get a man of the match in a game he doesn't deserve it. He'll get one assist, he'll get shots on target in one game. Now, usually these midfielders, I've called them two-point machines in the past, who look good but don't generally return points, but he manages to do it. Getting Neto in for that game is obviously decent. The problem is they blank the next week, but so does a lot of teams.
So does Salah.
Yeah, a lot of people will be put off. But after that, their run is pretty good. So, yeah, in that circumstance, for me, I don't have the transfers to get Neto. I'm probably just going to leave that. If Salah's on the bench, then he'll just be my captain, and I hope he'll come on and do something. Because, to be honest, even if he started right now, they'd probably end up with a similar score, it seems. So, that would be my... And if you just don't have anyone at all and you don't want to do Neto for whatever reason, I think you can avoid it. I think we've probably got a question on that. But,
yeah,
I mean they blank the next week as
for
well.
For me, if I see that team sheet and Salah's not on it, I'm really tempted to make that Ward-Prowse to Neto move. So moving off Marcel Hampton gradually, I can still do Vestergaard to Rafinha. I know I'm going to want a Wolves asset. I know I'm not going to want to get rid of Martinez for Patricio. So for me, it's just going to be logical. I think Cody at Wolves is another one to consider, because he's being told by the management to get in attacking roles, and it turns out he's actually a really good attacking centre back. Which I don't think he knew for the last decade or so, however long he's been playing. So Connor Cody is another one on the watch list. So let's have a look at some of these questions that we got from the community. Amigo Don, if you could only pick one captain for this coming weekend, who would that be? That's quite a good question, because there's not a lot of... It's not great for captains this weekend.
No, I mean, I'm assuming he means taking into account the match days as well.
Yeah, it's sort of going against the Sky rules. Just if there was only one captain, who would it be? Because it indicates who could be good.
I mean, the very, very boring and safe answer would be just to go Bruno Fernandes, but I don't want to say that. To be honest, I think probably the most likely one of returning you decent points is Martinez.
Mm.
I know that's stupid, but Friday away to Newcastle, Martinez is captain. It looks like a 9-pointer to 18, and if he gets any saves at all, then it seems pretty secure. Nearly every other game, I don't know who's going to either play or they're quite hard to call. Probably Martinez.
I agree, actually. I mean, looking at that, just on paper, Newcastle's got poor attack. Martinez is getting, 10, 11 points just for turning up. So, yeah, great captain.
The only thing I will say is Villa have looked like, in every game I've watched, they should have conceded like two or three goals. Yeah. They're somehow surviving.
Yeah.
But this is based off of just how bad Newcastle are, and they've got no attackers. Mm. But I wouldn't be surprised if they put us through the ringer again, Villa, because there's been so many times they should have conceded, but they're not doing it somehow. They just, everything's off the line or whatnot. Yeah. It's incredible.
I know. It's tough. But yeah, no, I think you're right on paper. The Villa defence against Newcastle. Mikey U asks, if you have no cover for Brighton against Newcastle, that's coming up the following game week, is it worth a transfer to get, for example, Dunk, Sanchez or Veltman? He says, I think I'm skipping it. After reading out the names of players that you could get, he says, I'm going to skip it. That's the same rationale I've gone through. I've got rid of Sanchez for Martinez. I'm happy I've done that, and I don't care about this match at all.
No. Yeah, I luckily didn't go with any Brighton on overhaul, despite them having three captain days. Now, I think that's worked out more on luck than judgment, because We saw Dunk score a free kick that should have been allowed. Mm-hmm. There's numerous. I mean, some of the games Brighton have had in the last few weeks have just been ridiculous, as you know. Could have been so different. So, yeah, I mean, I'll be skipping it. My answer there would be, do you want a player from one of those teams moving forward? I suppose if you've got 15, 20 transfers sat there, then why not? You may as well use one for a day. Because ultimately, I think Brighton will keep a clean sheet on this day, and I think it probably will be a 20-pointer for Dunk.
Yeah.
However, I'm not prepared to use a transfer and then transfer him back out. Two transfers to get the 20 points suddenly doesn't make it worth it. So answer yourself, do you have an absolute abundance or do you want a Brighton asset moving forward? Because to me, I think Brighton's next two or three games, I think they're pretty tough after that one, if I looked. Well, let me just have a look now. Yeah, away to Man United.
Oh, they've got an awful run. But that happened, a couple of seasons ago. I think it was a couple of seasons ago where they had this awful run as well towards the end. And then they just kept drawing or beating the likes of Manchester United and Arsenal and Tottenham and these kind of things happened. So I wouldn't be necessarily put off with that because their underlying stats, they're just not fulfilling their potential.
Don't talk about underlying stats.
Their underlying stats are ridiculously good, so they're not fulfilling their potential. But I think with Tarek Lamptey out, Veltman is assured to play. So if you're going to get a Brighton player in and you want to just keep them for some reason...
I'd be more tempted if Wilson was suddenly in the starting lineup for that game to bring him in just because he's different. And again, he's, despite having bad games, Newcastle being generally pretty poor, he's got the gift of picking up points. And the next few games aren't particularly good, but it's a different option. But again, these are more for chasers. For me, it's just a complete ignore it. I'm not spending two transfers on the chase of 20 points because it could not be 20 points.
No, I think there's more chance of you not getting 20 points to getting 20 points. With your move to Aspilicueta, that was you're likely to get 20 points if you captain them for a single game day. Lewis Dunk, maybe five. And then so maybe you're getting 10.
I think he's fairly nailed for it, but I just wouldn't spend two on 20. I've been saying that for a lot of the games at Brighton, that Dunk's pretty nailed for it and it just hasn't happened, so who knows.
Yeah. This is a good question from Lou G. So this comes from a lot of people who've been used to FPL, Fantasy Premier League, new to Sky this season. So they've got to sort of get your head around a different way of playing. So Lou G says he's new to Sky this year and he's still trying to get his head around the best strategy. How should we view blank game week 28, so limited fixtures week 28, and is the aim to have around 9 players? So we're still thinking FPL here, like in FPL, or should we have something else in mind that week 2? I mean, I guess the way of looking at it is don't think of it in game weeks, just think of it in days, a succession of days. The whole season is one giant game week. That's why I think of it. But is that the best way of thinking of it?
Yeah, I just, whatever I've got, I'll go with. Hopefully I've got a captain for each day. I don't for the Saturday. On paper right now, I have for the Friday and Sunday. Obviously, injuries could change that. And for me, it's more about volume of games. You know, come the end, it is all that matters. And it doesn't necessarily matter in that individual week. Now, if you ask me, would I like more players than most on those days? Obviously, I would. But I'm not prepared to use transfers in and out. With FPL, it's different because obviously they're bracketed and then you can use the free transfer in and out, which doesn't really affect things particularly. So for me, it's volume of games. So when we get to that day, I'm pretty sure Villa will still be two games behind most of people. Mm. So, if you haven't got Villa assets or you've got some players in your team that you don't particularly like, you could look to Villa that day because then obviously you're going to benefit moving forward as well. That's the kind of way I would look at it rather than the individual day. I'd look at the volume of games and Villa obviously tick that box, but that's about it really. Otherwise just roll with whatever you've got.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just look at when you're looking at the fixture page on Sky, look at game week 27, which we just looked at, then 28, then 29, and then have a think about some of the players you might want and just think long term because, you know, limited transfers. So yeah, going in with, you know, whatever, you don't have to go in with a certain amount of players.
It's going to be an incredibly low scoring week. I mean, most of the top 1K or whatever will have one or two leads, maybe. Mm. They'll have maybe a Brighton asset, and then possibly Antonio. And then on the Villa game, they'll probably have Kane and they'll probably have Martinez and maybe not more than that. So Kane, Martinez, Antonio, Dunk, and Bamford/Rafinha are basically the only five players that are pretty much be in play. And if you've got a few of them, then... Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's just about getting a captaincy most days. But as we've said, some days you can might as well not have a captain because they're just teams you don't particularly want to target. Stephen Wright asks, it's my first season playing. What differences has there been this COVID ravaged season compared to the normal Sky Fantasy season? And has it been easier or harder to navigate? He guesses harder, but I mean, he's just coming to it new. So I haven't found Sky that hard. I found Sky more enjoyable this season. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think I've got a fairly in-depth answer on this. For me, so what's different for a start is we just had more individual captain days than we've probably ever had before. I mean, I don't have the stats on it, but I think Ian Parrin suggested as much, and he knows his stuff. Sorry, nearly choking to death here. So I suppose it depends what kind of player you are. If you're a casual this season, casual, hate that word. If you're not super engaged, this season is incredibly tough because you've got limited transfers and you've got ridiculous amounts of captains to cover. So you do have to do a bit of planning, and we haven't always had that information. You have to have patience because sometimes you might not have people. You have to actually log in every day to set your captains pretty much based on lineups. So that is all geared towards a casual being pretty bad, I think, and it is more geared towards the pros. So the more difficult it is in that regard, the better it is for us engaged managers. And I think that is reflected in the top 100 leaderboard because right now, I can't remember a season where we've had so many sort of well-known good Sky players already in the top 100 come like Christmas. Normally come the end of the season, you've got the majority of them that end up there. But most of us have been in and around that
area. I recognise most of the names when I look at the top 50 of top 100.
So that speaks volumes to me that it's actually easier for the more experienced managers this season than most because of the amount of chaos really that has caused the casuals. There's just a big divide now. The game is very... It is hands-on and it's not hands-on because obviously you can set captains and you can only spend 10 minutes, but you need to know what you're doing. And that's why I like the game, because it rewards that level of attention quite often.
Yeah, I mean, the two points I want to make is one is the challenge has been you're not getting those advanced fixtures because, you know, you've got various things like, will, you know, fans be let in? And, you know, so and the TV scheduling has been much more important, obviously. So we're not sure about the schedule. So like we were talking about earlier, we don't know about April's fixtures. So some transfers we can't make. So that's difficult. You know, it helps with planning and we can't plan that far in advance. But the other reason I found it easier, just because it's been more enjoyable, because it's so difficult when you've got these so many more injuries because of the schedule. And you've got, I mean, definitely earlier this season in January, you know, actual COVID cases amongst players as well, counting them out. And it's very frustrating in a format like Fantasy Premier League, where you've got your deadline on the Friday or the Saturday, and you can't make any changes until the following Saturday. Yeah. And you're just stuck. You're stuck with these just players that can't play. Whereas in Sky, every day you can make those changes and you can make those decisions. And even if that change isn't a transfer, it's just changing the captaincy. And you can feel much more, so I feel much more engaged with Sky.
You're in control a little bit more, aren't you?
Much more in control, even though, you know, I've been higher before in the rankings, but I'm still okay, top 1,000. Yeah. And I almost don't mind where I finish, but I will finish this Sky season saying that I've enjoyed it more than Fantasy Premier League because of that control.
I agree. And also, the other thing is there's just more viable options in Sky because of the nature of the game, the way they play their bonus points and everything else. So when it comes to FPL, you maybe in each team, you've got maybe one, possibly two viable assets from each team mostly, sometimes zero. Whereas in Sky, yes, there's still a smaller bank of players involved. It's always the way fantasy works. But, you know, you've got multiple players you can look at. Who the hell would ever captain Aspilicueta, for example? I mean, you just wouldn't do it, would they, in FPL? And, that adds to it, I think.
You genuinely have an issue some weeks. If Spurs have a tough game, you think, well, should I captain Hoiberg or Kane? No, man, you can't do that in Fantasy Premier League. Can't have that joy. Let's move on with these questions. Tom Hartnell, he's going to be doing Aspilicueta. He wants to get Aspilicueta in for Dunk as soon as that captaincy day for Dunk is done. So he's keeping hold of Dunk for that Brighton Newcastle game at the cost of not getting Aspilicueta in, who he's earmarked for that place. He can't wait to get rid of him. Would you recommend a Chelsea defence double up? Well, this goes back to the beginning of the programme. If so, who would you pick to partner Aspilicueta? That's exactly what you're planning, isn't it? Chelsea double up.
I think so, because City had it for a period and may still continue it. The bonus points plus clean sheet thing is a thing in Sky. The passing mode, I mean, Liverpool last season, it dictates how your season goes more often than not. And right now, Chelsea look unbelievable in that area. So they're the new hot property. And perhaps, I mean, you could say that we've been slower jumping on it. I think the way their fixtures have fallen and they didn't have any captain days, it's turned some of the experienced managers away. I mean, I myself removed Rudiger to cover some captain days with Calvert-Lewin, where I'd have just left him in, it would have been much better off. So yeah, I'm looking at the double up, and it will be Thiago Silva for me, simply because when he has been fit, he has always been there, as far as I can tell. Yeah. My only concern right now is maybe he's not fully fit. He was on the bench, etc. So we just have to wait for it. But all things being well, I think he's probably the answer to go with Aspilicueta. And he's the best for passing. I think he's the best for passing in the entire league, actually, better than any Man City defender as well. So
he does always seem to be on the bonus.
He's on like 100 passes in some games. So yeah, all over Thiago, I think.
Hornet, it's not really a question, just sort of, you know, adding to that discussion, really. You're saying he came off Aspilicueta for Dunk two captain games ago, worth of go, and he's proving to be a mistake as predicted, exclamation mark. Why do we do these things, blind hope? So this that just sums up the life of a Sky manager. You make these decisions. Dave, yeah. Simple Goal, he says, with 15 transfers left, where is the best opportunity for me to attack? And he also supplements that with moving Man City players on could be the way after Saints, or perhaps waiting after the Fulham game. So there is a hop-off point at some point for City and to do else. So two questions there. So when to move off City and who are the players to bring in to, you know, attack the rest of the season?
Well, he's got a lot of transfers there. I'd definitely wait until after Fulham. I do think they'll heavily rotate against Fulham, but they might not. And either way, I know Fulham are a tougher team, but it still feels like in that game it could be a 1 or 2-0. I feel like every game at the moment is basically 2-0 City. It doesn't always work out that way, as Man United showed, but I think that's like the blanket, this will be a 2-0 City, is virtually every game. So the problem I've got there, really, is that after game week 28 and obviously 29, where they don't play, we don't actually have any fixtures. So I don't have any options to give you as to who to hop on or hop off, because we don't have those. So after Fulham is probably the way to do it. And there's not that many teams. But with that many transfers, I'd say for him, the best way to attack is simply now just to look at the fixtures and who's got teams to fight for. I mean, he knows what he's doing. And with that many transfers, you're in that luxury position where, you know, the likes of Neto, the likes of West Ham assets, you know, the likes of even Bale, for example, won't be different. A Leicester defender, Arsenal have got a fantastic run. So the likes of Saka and Aubameyang, if you want to chance them, there's these guys at the top. The top teams are not going to go for very, very much, I would have said, because they're a little bit riskier and they probably don't want to use their transfers because they're probably a little bit low on them. And if you've got 15, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, what are the other opportunities? I don't really see any right now. Obviously, when we have the fixtures, that may change. But rest assured, as soon as we have the fixtures and everyone's got the same information and we look at it, what you think is going to be a good plan or a differential is probably what everyone else is thinking of as well.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, so he's getting ahead of that or doing something completely
different. It's getting ahead of it. So, yeah, so for me, with 15 transfers after the Fulham game, you would probably look to bring in... I mean, I know Vestergaard's not been great so far and he's owned by quite a lot, but Southampton do go on a great run after that. So maybe you can start looking at some Southampton assets as well. It's tricky right now without the information to get to add to that. But
I think I mean, I'm in a similar position as Dave there. I've got 14 left and I'm looking at players like Antonio, Neto. These are players where I don't need to see captaincy days for these players. I know that they've got good fixtures and I know that they're a potential captain, but you know, even if I don't captain them that particular day, I'm going to get points from them. And especially when you've got the likes of Salah, Calvert-Lewin, to a lesser extent Vestergaard as well. I would say I'm not sure about Vestergaard. I want to be seeing more tears for him and he's giving me tears instead. FPL Fish, when's the best jump on point for Fulham? So reversing it around, he has no cover for the Fulham Leeds fixture as he binned Bamford, and I'm gonna make this a guy Welsh, Adebayo, and as a Fulham asset there, and then hold for the season. But is there an early entry versus? I'm not sure what he's talking about here, but early entry versus a City player. So he's looking at, yeah. Does he go for a Fulham player before the City game? I think what he's essentially saying. But
I think it's, if it's an attacker, if it's Lookman or someone like that, then why not? Just pick up your probable 2 points. Might be more, but you may as well get them. If it's a defender, I probably wouldn't, because they're probably likely to concede. Adaribayo, I think.
Let's make him Welsh. Adaribayo.
Adaribayo is good for passing, isn't he? Will he get it at home to Man City? I mean, that's a tough ask, isn't it? Maybe, but yeah. I wouldn't have thought so. Right. So unless he, because he's obviously extremely cheap, allows you to do another transfer that you want to do on Sunday, then maybe. But to me, I think you would just... I would look at the lineup. You get to see the lineup. I mean, who knows? He could get injured versus City. This is the other thing. You make your move, and then Lookman or Adebayo gets injured.
Yeah.
Was it worth the 2 points in moving early? Sometimes just foregoing 2 points and having more information is more beneficial. Because I can tell you now, there's times when I've done this and it has backfired. You know, you can never say for sure that won't happen.
I'm waiting for the fixtures before I decide on Fulham, but I'm not averse to going there because they are playing well.
But Adaribayo has just been unreal. I mean, he is basically the best enabler in the game right now by a distance.
Fanto Mantle asks, if you don't have cover for Wolves, Liverpool, do you skip or buy Salah? So I think we decided that, it's you know, don't buy him if you've got him, captain him.
I'd get Neto if you want him longer term. Otherwise, I wouldn't do anything. Yeah. They blank next week. They then play away to Arsenal the week afterwards, which is not good. And even it doesn't matter what the fixtures are. Liverpool are that dreadful right now. That why are you going to spend 12 million on someone who's just been that poor? I mean, you just click Salah. Look past those past 20 games. I know that doesn't necessarily mean anything for the future and it can turn around. But I don't know how you could ever advise anyone to buy him right now.
Alex Brown, final question here. Calvert-Lewin should be gone. He's sick of him blanking. But as we mentioned, he's worth keeping for the captaincy day this weekend, because City are too much of a risk. And Calvert-Lewin, you know, if you
home
to Burnley, so you never know. Also, I think I was talking to Ben Crabtree, who's an Everton fan and has won FPL on the Scoutcast this week, and he was saying that he thinks it's and a lot of Everton fans think it's mainly around Rodriguez being out. It is why Calvert-Lewin is being asked to play a bit further in a wider role, and it's Richarlison, and to sort of make space for Richarlison, and we are indeed seeing that Richarlison is scoring. So Sigurdsson's taking more of a creative role with Rodriguez out, and Calvert-Lewin sort of the big bloke who gets in everyone's way role, which is great.
The Ashley Barnes.
Which is great if you're an Everton fan. But not so great if you want him to do well in Sky. So he's a wait and see potentially, because once Rodriguez is back, it's possible that he moves up front, and then you're getting a goal a game man. So
yeah, I think it also comes down. Ancelotti is just a fantastic manager, and a lot of these top guys, and we've seen it recently with Jose and sticking in Bale and people doubling up on Grealish and all sorts of stuff. You know, when things aren't quite working, they have to find an alternative and try to keep their opponents guessing. And everyone thinking Calvert-Lewin's going to be in the 6-yard box heading it down, they prepare for it, and suddenly he's not there. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that's been pointed at Klopp recently, isn't it? You've got to try and find another way to play, mate, because it's not working. And I guess he's trying, but it's not just happening. So things can change again quickly, because Everton have home to Burnley, then they've got a blank. So yeah, I can see why you'd want to move him. But then they're home to Palace, who are arguably the worst side in the league at the moment. Yeah. So that stinks of Calvert-Lewin punishing, because suddenly he could be back up top in the number 9 position. James Rodriguez could be back and he's hitting 2 or 3 goals. So I'd be inclined to maybe hold him for a couple more, maybe. And then reassess, I think.
Definitely, because it's not. I don't look at Calvert-Lewin and I think, oh, Calvert-Lewin's rubbish, he's off form. When I look at his lack of points, I just think he's in a different role for the team, and it just doesn't benefit fantasy managers.
Well, I come back to it. Who do you even move to in forwards at the moment? Unless you're going to Chelsea defenders, I don't really see any options massively jumping out right now. So, you know, you're moving from one turd to another essentially most of the time.
just turd hopping.
So just leave it on the turd you're on, and you never know. It might be awesome.
What a fitting way to round off the show. Thanks so much for your questions, everyone. Just a reminder, the Fantasy Football Scout members area has got loads of useful Opta-powered stats there for Sky and FPL managers alike. So do check out the website for details. In the meantime, Luke, thanks so much for joining me, and good luck with your game week in Sky.
Thanks a lot, mate. Catch you on the next one.